are thankful to see each one here tonight. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with us, we're going to begin again in Romans chapter 1, looking at a different subject here. And there is, as we deal with sin and look at different sins, we're going to deal with haters of God tonight. Haters of God, that's from Romans 1, verse 30. Haters of God. Of course, you got backbiters at the beginning and then haters of God. And when you think about haters of God, what that means is one word that represents it is the wicked. And we'll look at some scriptures that deal with the wicked and what that means. But when you're dealing with haters of God, you're getting to a different level. Because I can say this, as we go forward in life, you know this, that there are true believers in Christ and even believers in Christ, not all are faithful. Not all are good, obedient children. So their love for God is not the same as somebody that's close to the Lord. And then you've got people that are unsaved. But there's unsaved people that go to church. They go to church sometimes more than some saved people. Some go, you know, three times a week and they've never trusted Christ. You've got people that are unsaved that will say that they're religious. Of course, you got some that are unsaved that are part of false religions. And they might be moral people. I've tried to make this statement before. You know, I've come across a lot of moral people in other religions. Some of those people you'd love to have as neighbors. Kind, compassionate, considerate. And then you've got people that are not religious. They're they might be moral, but they're not religious. Doesn't mean they don't believe in God, but they don't go to church. They don't have any religious affiliation, but they're decent people. Then you got atheists. And I'll say this, not all atheists fall in the same group. I've come across many different types of atheists. There's atheists that'll discuss scriptural things with you. They've read the Bible. They've gone through it. They just don't believe in it. Yet they're not against God. I've known atheists that'll, you know, if you say God bless you, somebody will say, well, shouldn't you be offended at that? And they're like, why? They're just wishing me well. Why would I get upset at that? And they have no animosity towards God or God's people. And then you got some pretty bad behaving people. You got some people that do some things that are wrong. They're selfish. You might even classify them into the evil category. I'd be careful with that. The evil category gets to a different level when you're talking about some of the ranges of people. But about the toughest one that you will ever come across is somebody that's truly wicked. And there are some people says, oh, we're all good in some way, shape, form, or fashion. I promise you, there are wicked people in this world. And when you talk about haters of God, have y'all ever known somebody that meets a Christian, and I mean they just hate them because they believe in God? They hate them because they serve God. They hate them because they go to church. They hate their morality. I mean they hate everything about them. This is the level you get to with haters of God. And some of the scriptures we'll read tonight will overlap. They will fit into many different categories, not just haters of God, but people that really hate God, they don't want anything to do with Him. They hate His Word, they hate His teachings, they hate His morality, they hate even everything that He has created. And I will say this, transgenderism is a form of wickedness. It's not just a sin. You are going against what's been created, and not just in the world, but even of yourself. You are hating your own existence of who you are. You are rebelling against who you were born as. I mean, that is a special level of wickedness. A lot of people say, oh, it's all the same. We just all sin differently. No, there's different levels. And that's clearly defined by Scripture. But there are some that are just on a realm of wickedness. There are people that make war against God. There are people that fight against God every time that they can. This is what this is talking about of haters of God. Y'all know how much people hated God even as you study Romans chapter 1? They hated God so much that they began to create their own gods. I don't know how many gods have been created over the years. I've heard the numbers at different times from different people in the hundreds, in the thousands, and things of this nature over the years, the different gods that man has made up. I don't even know if we have the whole number. I don't. But sometimes people say, well, all these thousands of gods, and you believe yours is the only one. That's right, I do. And sometimes people say, oh, this your religion was made up to gain power. Really? To gain power? To control people is what some people will say? If that was the truth, why does almost every government in the world fight against God? If it's there to control them, to help them be more submissive to the government and all this, then why is Christianity the one that they fight the most against? You would think that the liberals in our world today would be against the Muslims, wouldn't you? I mean, they throw homosexuals off of buildings. You go to Iran and tell them you're a homosexual, see what happens to you. You would think they would be against that religion, but that's who they yoke up with. Why? Because it's not the true and living God. That's why. They fight against the one true and living God. And the people that have served Him through the years, most of them have suffered loss for the cause of Christ. In almost every country and every place that you go, people, and I'm talking this world, of course, we know it's far better what we have waiting forward to us in the Lord. But in this life, most people who have truly served the Lord and desired to obey Him in their life have suffered loss for it, for loving their neighbor, for doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, for paying our taxes, render unto Caesar what is Caesar. You would think this would be exactly the type of group that governments would want, but they have fought against them everywhere. They have fought against it in our own nation. They have fought against it all over the world. True Bible-believing Christians have been fought against everywhere. This is not a religion that was created to control people or to help them be more of something toward the government. It is the truth of the true and living God. And the people that even helped start it, if you want to call that, we know that God is the author of it. Jesus is the one that started His church. But if you even go back to the apostles, I like what one man said. He made the statement. He said, if anything convinced me that Christianity was true, he said, Watergate did. And you might say, how does Watergate come into this? He said, look, it wasn't long that everybody involved was confessing how they had lied and told a falsehood when their livelihood was up. He said 11 out of the 12 died a martyr's death. And he said none of them recanted. None of them. He said, if that don't convince you more of what Christianity is, and they've done it throughout the centuries, there is a long, lengthy list in the millions of people that have suffered, bled, and even died for the gospel. And they did it willingly because they would not deny the person that saved them. But it goes to show you that there are people that war against God. There are haters of God in this world. I want to turn over to some different scriptures. Genesis 18 to begin with. I know we've already referenced Romans 1 and haters of God being mentioned there, but in chapter 18, verse 23, I'll get my mind right in just a moment. This is, of course, the time that God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, a wicked and awful place. It says, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked. I don't think I have to go through the whole account and go through him talking to God from 50 all the way down to 10. If there be 10 righteous souls, I would spare it. But I tell you what, there wasn't that many righteous people there. In fact, even Abraham admitted that the people that were there were what? Wicked. They rejected things of God. The Bible gives us different scriptures. They were selfish people. We know that. They had plenty in their treasury. They were rich. They had plenty in their treasury, but they didn't care for the poor. They didn't care for the needy and things of this nature. And they went after strange flesh. It's one of the things that they did. Going against even all that is natural in the world and what God has created. They rejected what God had done. And that's why I can say that homosexuality, while the individuals might be able to be repent and be redeemed, and I do want to say this, we don't know when somebody is fully to that level of wickedness. We judge them that way, but we don't know. How many of y'all would have thought that a person that persecuted the church, consented unto somebody being stoned to death, put people in prison for the gospel, y'all would think that person had gone to a reprobate mind, wouldn't you? But God saved Saul of Tarsus. And again, that goes to show us, we don't know what's going on in somebody's heart, even when it seems like they're our enemy. Now, homosexuality, as far as the sin is concerned, is a sin of wickedness. It is. It rejects God. It rejects how He has created them. Male and female created He them. And we know the difference between the two. But I hope people understand that we believe that people can be saved. We believe that people can repent. I believe there's people on death row that, if you got the message to them and God would open their hearts to the truth, they could repent and believe the gospel. I believe there's people that have done some very wicked things and they could be redeemed. And I know that when you get to haters of God, there's even people that'll tell you that at one point in time in their life, they truly did hate God. But yet God is long-suffering and merciful and even allows people like that to repent and believe the gospel. He's willing to forgive their sins even though they hated Him. Again, that goes to show who God is. Turn with me over to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 23. Here God is commanding His people. And this is laws that are being given out. It says in verse 7 of Exodus 23, "Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked." Slaying the righteous, the innocent, God says He won't justify the wicked. There's a lot of slaying that goes on in our day and time. I think some of it done in ignorance. Abortion's part of that. Abortion is one of the most wicked things that's ever been. And look, if somebody has had an abortion or done something, look, I've got compassion for them. I've got forgiveness for them. I know more importantly, God does. I'd gladly preach to people that have, and I'd tell them of the love of God and the forgiveness of God and the reconciliation with God through Christ. I'd love to tell them that. I'd love to see them be reconciled, and I'd love to see them live a life unto the Lord and understand His love. But you also have to tell people that do that, you have done an awful, wicked thing. You've killed your own child for your convenience. And more than 99 times out of 100, that's the reason for it. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes, well, I don't want to go through a pregnancy and change up my body. I'm young. I don't want people to find out I got pregnant. You know, pride comes in, things of this nature, but it's there for the most part for convenience. I don't want to have this child. And look, rape and incest is a very rare reason for somebody to get an abortion. It's less than 1% of the time that that's the reason. Most of them are committed because it is nothing but convenience. I will sacrifice the life of my child so that I can get what I want. That's most of the reason. That's pretty wicked, isn't it? Animals don't do that. I know there are some that eat their own young and stuff of that nature, but most animals, you mess with a dog's puppies, they're going to tear you up. You mess with the pigs, little babies, it's going to mess you up. It's going to come after you. You mess with an animal like an alligator, I'll tell you what, that mama alligator will protect her nest, she will protect her young. This is what you find even in nature. You have to go against nature to do something like that. And a lot of people don't realize what they're doing with that. They're hating that God gave them a child. Think about that for just a moment. They're hating the fact that God gave them a child. Life is the most precious thing in the world. It's the most precious thing there is. And there's people that literally hate life. And sadly, there's even people in public office that talk about how they hate life. Well, we don't want a greater population. We don't want more boys and girls. We don't want more families. They'll tell you that. They'll openly say that. You know why? They're afraid it might take away their view of the ocean on their villa somewhere. It might obstruct them that some poor people are walking down the street or they're able to drive and there's more traffic. They despise life. And they want it destroyed. If you listen to a lot of people's reasons of why they support abortion, some of the reasons are sickening and selfish. And whether they realize it or not, what they're saying in that statement is, I hate God. I hate that He created life. I hate that He desires people to have families and things. Look, that's commanded in Scripture. Be fruitful and multiply. You know that hasn't gone away. God still wants His people to get married and have families. And I'll say it this way too. God didn't desire them to just have one child or two children. And in most situations, you know who makes that decision? Usually the husband and wife make that decision, not God. God likes us to have children. Blessed is the man that hath his quiver full of them. I don't preach against people having children. Some people say, oh, we're in hard times, Brother Brandon. We're in difficult times. We need to lower the numbers. No, we don't. God's people need to have families. And it is blessing. What's the blessing of an old man? His children's children, according to Scripture. Hard to have children's children if you don't first have children. It's a blessing to have children. Some people say, oh, it's so expensive. They give all these excuses. There's not a dime that I've spent on my children I regret. Not one dime. Oh, you could have gone this. You could have had this. I would have missed my children. Put a value on that. We love life. We love families. These are things that we love. In fact, they might make fun of it in the world, but I like to encourage young people. Get married. Have a family. You won't regret it. Be a blessing to you. But haters of God despise those things. What's been attacked so much by Satan, by so many people in our day and time? The family. The family has. To hate the family is to hate God. We need to understand that. Don't turn over Psalm 10. And look, I could have turned a number of places to deal with these things tonight. And I greatly had to limit myself and what we're going to read from and discuss. And I know there's a number of places, but there's a lot of scriptures that deal with haters of God. Do y'all remember even the religious, how they hated God because they would not accept the truth of Christ? Jesus mentioned that, didn't he? If you hate me, you hate the Father. So there's a lot of levels to this, and I certainly can't get all to it tonight. But in Psalm 10, I'm just going to read verses 2 and 3. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. Notice some of these characteristics about the wicked, those that hate God. What do they want to do? They want to oppress the poor. And oppress the poor doesn't mean you're against welfare or something like that. That's not oppressing the poor. Oppressing the poor is, I'm not going to give you the ability to work. I'm not going to give you the ability to prove yourself. I'm not going to give you the opportunity to succeed. That's oppressing the poor. You give them no avenue of opportunity. I know a lot of people have never studied this, but go back and study sometime if you get the opportunity. Study when they were first putting forth a minimum wage. They actually told what their objective was in that. Now, I'm not saying I'm against the minimum wage or things of that nature. I'm just saying study the root of it. Study some history of it. You'll find some haters of God. What they believed is, we're going to take a pile of people and make it where they can't work, where they can't have kids. They'll starve to death and they'll be done. That's pretty much what they stated. That's oppressing the poor. They thought if we raise the wages, then some people wouldn't be able to get that wage. That was their thought process. And therefore, some people will be eliminated over time. Some people have gone further with that. If you'll go and study people like Mao and Stalin, they went to a different level with it. To do what they did, you must hate God. Because you hate His creation, you hate His people. And notice what drives this: pride. I'm better than somebody else. I deserve it more. They don't deserve this opportunity. I'm going to do something to hinder their way. And notice what they also do. They boasteth of his heart's desire. The wicked boasteth of his heart's desire. Do we have a lot of people unashamed to tell you what they want and what they'll try to get and how they'll go about it? There's a lot of things that are said today that used not to be said because simply of shame. But when you become lovers of your own flesh, lovers of self, you're unashamed to say some things that you shouldn't say. Or you should at least be ashamed to say. There's a whole lot being said today that should still shock us. I think we've gotten to the place where we just hardened our hearts to it or gotten used to it. But there's some things that should shock us. Even going back to the abortion thing and what some people say about that, there's some things that should shock us. What people will do for money. Y'all remember when it was a shame for people to show their nakedness off to others? It wasn't that long ago. Now there's people that have bragged to you, oh, I make this amount of money per year because I show off my body to everybody else or sell my body to people. They'll boast about it, brag about it. Look, it's popular in popular music today to talk about stuff like that. We're in a society that hates God. Hates the sanctity of their own flesh. We're going from a world that, look, people used to cherish even their own virginity to people that are lewd and proud of it. God has a word for that. Wicked. But there's another side to that. When they do that, they're hating God. But they're also destroying their own flesh. They're destroying themselves, and they don't know it. But to hate God is also to reject His promise, to reject His word, to reject His invitation for salvation. I've made the statement, what's the worst sin of all? Rejecting Christ. In the book of 1 John chapter 5, what does it call people that reject Christ? It says, you have called God a liar. You can't hate God any more than that. Than to say, I believe what you're telling me is a lie. It is the unforgivable sin. To reject Christ. Now, a lot of people that reject Christ, they don't see that as that big of a deal. But it is. It is a form of wickedness. To take the love of God and to toss it aside. To take the sacrifice of Christ and throw it aside. So while we mention some other sins and some other things, don't miss out on that as wickedness also. And what have you done when you reject Christ? What you've really done is you have rejected the love of God. What does it mean if you reject somebody's love? Would it not be appropriate to say you hate that person, to reject their love, to reject their opportunity to forgive? To reject their sacrifice? We're dealing with haters of God. Again, there's so many multiple levels. I'll read a couple of scriptures in Proverbs. We might turn one other place and then we'll close. There's many things mentioned about the wicked in the book of Proverbs. And again, I'm just going to select a few. I'll try to hurriedly run through some of these. If you want to, you can write them down as we talk about them. If you want to go back and read the context and everything later. But in chapter 2, verse 14, it says, who rejoice to do evil, talking about the wicked. Notice what they do. They rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. On over in chapter 4, and verse 16 and 17, it says, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Notice what's also within them violence. A person that loves God knows that God loves reconciliation. He loves peace. He desires us to be peace seekers. We're to seek peace and ensue it in Scripture. God seeks peace with man. God seeks an opportunity for man to repent. Even in the book of Revelation, God did not desire to destroy the world and destroy His creation and what was done. He said, but they repented not. And you know how bad it's got to get? I think it's got to be on the same level as it was with Sodom and Gomorrah. If there was 10 righteous souls, He would have spared it. And I don't know the population there. I don't know how you divide all that out and see everything correctly. But I'll say this, the world has to become a pretty wicked place for God to destroy it. It has to come a place that near about everybody on the face of the earth hates God. And they refuse to turn from their fornications, their sorceries, their wickedness, their idol worship. And let me ask this question. Where are we at today? Today's All Hallows Eve or Halloween, isn't it? What are most churches doing tonight? They're participating in it. That's what they're doing. And look, I believe in mercy. I believe in forgiveness. I believe in restoration. But even some Satanists have said, at least God's people worship Satan one day out of the year. That's the way they describe it as Christians taking part in Halloween. They see it a lot differently than we do. But there's a lot of idolatry going on that people don't even recognize as idolatry. Oh, this is just good, clean fun. No, you're participating in an evil event. And a lot don't see it that way. But I'll tell you what, many Satanists do. And they'll even comment about it. And I don't know how many churches I passed on the way here that had all kinds of games and activities going on. And let me tell you, hardly a place to park. Oh, it'll pack you. Wickedness will. But we need to be careful. In chapter 10, in verse 6, it says, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. And notice this, it's not just violence, but notice where it's at. It's in their mouth. Is there a lot of people today that talk about, I'm going to hit you, I'm going to beat you, I'm going to hurt you, I'm going to do this to you? There's a lot of that going on. You probably don't want to listen to it. I've been down the roads long enough just scanning through stations before. I've heard things I didn't want to hear. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of music out there. It promotes violence. It upholds it. And we're not talking about two people boxing or something like that. We're talking about somebody, I want to do you harm. I want to bring vengeance upon you. I want to bring wrath upon you. We're talking about a level of evil. And you'd be surprised at how many times there's people that declare themselves Christians that that's what they listen to. That their mouths are full of violence. Shouldn't be. In verse 16, it says, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, but the fruit of the wicked to sin. The labor of wickedness is sin. That's what they seek after. That's what they desire. In chapter 11, in verse 18, in verse 23, it says, in verse 18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work. What does a wicked person do? He deceives. Who's the author of lies, deceit? Satan is. In verse 23 of chapter 11, it says, "The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath." Chapter 12 and verse 10, it says, "A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel." Notice that cruelty is an aspect of the wicked. These people hate God. What is the characteristic of God? I know that God has wrath and God can bring down His judgment. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. But if you know anything about God, even as we've already mentioned, God desires repentance over judgment. God is about mercy, long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's who God is. That's His characteristics. That's what He teaches us. He teaches us even to love our enemies. That's who God is. But the wicked, even what they call their mercies, is cruelty. It's selfish. The haters of God are contrary to God. I'll turn one other place, 2 Peter. This will go hand in hand where we really started at over in the book of Genesis. In 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse 7. Talking about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. It said in verse 7. And out of that it says, "And deliver just Lot." And what about Lot? "Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." I wanted to close with this. Are we vexed with the filthy conversations of the wicked? There's their talk of fornication and lewdness. Are we vexed by that? Does it bother us? And their cruelty. And their mouths being focused upon wrath and evil and violence. Does that vex us when we hear all that? Or as long as somebody that agrees with some of our beliefs says it, we're all right with it. Does it vex us with their greed? With their selfishness? Or do we listen to evil people and we say, you know what? What they say makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of people who say that they're of Christ today, that's what they say. There's people that'll tell you, you know, true Christianity will uphold abortion. No, it will not. It does not attack life that God created. We don't go along with the wicked. We don't uphold homosexuality. We don't uphold transgenderism. We don't uphold fornication, adultery. We don't uphold pornography and things of this nature. We don't uphold those things because to do so would be to hate God. We won't do that. But there's a lot of people who will be caught up in their self-righteousness while hating the statutes, the judgments, the commandments of God. And God is His Word. When we rebel against God, we are saying we hate what God said. We hate how God thinks. We hate what He upholds. That's why people went about to establish their own religions and their own gods in their own image, is because they hated the truth of who God was. That's haters of God. Dear friend, don't be there. Don't be there. Don't go along with that. We don't need to be haters of God in any way, shape, form, or fashion, because everything about God is life. Everything about God is Him wanting to share His love with us. And the only reason God has to bring judgment at some point in time is because people refuse His love, they refuse His mercy, they refuse His forgiveness. And as a righteous and holy God, He has no other choice. Because He cannot deny who He is. But we know that's not what God's desire is. His desire is to forgive. His desire is to restore. His desire is with every person that was created in His image. Every boy and girl that's ever been born, God has extended His love to them and has offered them repentance, salvation, forgiveness, reconciliation to every single one of them. Even the ones that have hated Him at different times, who have fought against Him, He has still extended His love to them and offered it. I will encourage us today. Don't walk in the ways of this world. Don't accept it as right or good. But have it as the wickedness it is. And it is hard sometimes to separate that wickedness of sin and to still have love for those who commit those things. But even as Paul said, there were things that he did. He said, I did them ignorantly. What did Stephen say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Copying the realistically the words of Christ. He knew they didn't know what they were doing. There's a lot of the world that does not know. They are sheep without a shepherd. But dear friend, there are people in this world who truly hate God and hate everything about Him. And we need to be careful that we do not go along with them. But that we love God and we uphold His commandments, judgments, statutes. This is the burden that God has given us today. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we'd invite you to come. I have a verse of a song.